Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are picking up with our learning of Tractate Rosh Hashanah, the third chapter. We are starting at the Mishnah on Chafav Amud Aleph 26a. Now the perek will turn towards the laws of the shofar. We know from the pasuk tells us in Bamidbar that Rosh Hashanah is defined as a yom truah, a day of blowing. It is through Midrash HaKalacha that we understand that what has to be blown is a shofar by comparing the blowing of Rosh Hashanah to what is used for the yovel on Yom Kippur of the Jubilee year. So now the Mishnah is going to begin to define for us what type of horns may be used to fulfill the mitzvah. The Mishnah begins as follows. Kol ha-shofarot k'sherim chutz mishel para mipnei shehu keren. All shofarot are kosher, the Mishnah says, for the use for Rosh Hashanah, except for those of an ox or a cow, because that is called a keren, another term for horn. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi comes and disagrees. Halo kol ha-shofarot nikru keren, shneimar bimshoch bekeren hayovel. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, but wait a minute. The term keren should not invalidate it because all shofarot themselves are referred also as a keren. And he brings the example from Sefer Yehoshua, bimshoch bekeren hayovel, the drawing out of the blast of the yovel's keren. A yovel here is understood to be a ram, and therefore even the ram's horn, which we know as a shofar, is also called a keren, and therefore that the word keren should not invalidate the horn of an ox or a cow. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the nature of this machloket and what they're disagreeing about. I should point out that the commentaries assume that whatever we're talking about has to be a horn that is naturally hollow. So, for example, an elk or a deer or other animals that have solid bone as horns, everyone assumes would not count. And we're only talking about those of the physical properties of not hollow, but not solid all the way through. The horns that can use for your shofar are filled with cartilage, but they're not solid bone all the way through. So the Gemara begins, Shapir kama Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara begins by saying, Rabbi Yossi spoke well. What he said makes sense because it's true that we know that shofarot are also called keren. The Rabbanan, what would Rabbanan answer to that? Kol ha-shofarot ikru shofar v'ikru keren, de para keren ikri shofar lo ikri. Rabbanan answered, that is true, that all shofarot are called shofar and also called keren, but those of a para is called a keren, but it's never called a shofar. And they quote the verse from Dvarim, Dichtiv, Bechor shoro hadar lo v'karnei re'em karnav. This is from the blessing given to Yosef, where it describes, this is Moshe's blessing for the tribe of Joseph, a firstborn, his ox, glory is his, and his horns are the kerens of a re'em. So therefore, once he is likened to an ox, his horns are specifically called keren and never called a shofar, therefore invalidating them. Rabbi Yossi amar lach, how would Rabbi Yossi respond to this question? De paranami ikri shofar. He has a verse, in fact, where he says the horns of a cow or an ox are indeed called shofar. Dichtiv, v'titav l'Hashem mishor par. It's a quote from Tehillim talking about the praise that we will give God will be as good to God as a shor par, as an ox cow. And Rabbi Yossi would ask on that pasuk, im shor lama par, v'im par lama shor. Why does the pasuk use that phrase, shor par? It should be one or the other. If it's a shor, then don't call it a par. If it's a par, then don't call it a shor. The assumption here is, by the way, the term shor refers to a younger bull, and a par refers to an older bull. So why should it be that the pasuk uses both? It should be one or the other. Therefore, midrashically, he understood it to be an elamai shor par mi shofar, that the verse is deliberately referencing shor par to also reference shofar, to tell us that the horn of a shor or a par is also good for shofar. The Rabbanan, how do the Rabbanan understand the verse? Kidrav Matna. They understand the verse the way Rav Matna explained it. Amar Rav Matna, my shor par, what does ox bull mean? Shehu gadol kapar, meaning it is an ox that was born as big as a par. Rashi explains this is referring to the first ox from creation, where God made all of the animals there. They came out full size. So even the day old shore was already called a par because it was already full size. So God's going to enjoy our prayers and our thanksgiving even more than offering a sacrifice of a fully grown from the first of creation. Par. Okay. Ula Amar, again, to explain the machloket between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi, Ula said, Hainu tamid Rabbanan, the reasoning of the Rabbanan that invalidate a par is kidurav chizda, follows Rav Chizda's logic. The Amar Rav Chizda said, Mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas v'idei zahav lifnim avot avodah, Lefi she'en kategor nase sanagor. Rav Chizda commenting on why the Kohen Gadol, the high priest on Yom Kippur, would wear all white clothing to enter the Holy of Holies. That even though the high priest had gold clothing, or some of his clothing was gold clothing, some of his vestments, of the eight vestments that he wore for regular use. On Yom Kippur, his outfit consisted of only four items of clothing, the pants, the hat, the jacket, and the shirt, and those were all white. So the question is, why did the Kohen Gadol, when he performed the commandments done inside the Holy of Holies, why was all that done only in white? To not make the accuser into the defense attorney. Which means that gold clothing, or gold in general, has, or in this case, I should say, we'll come to the gold in a second. The par, the ox, has an element of the accuser. Why? Because it reminds God of the Egel HaZahav, right? The golden calf, the calf was a baby cow, and therefore we would not want to use a baby, anything representing a cow, for the shofar when Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, right? We want to come before God with our merits, not reminding God of our past sins. So that is how we are applying Rav Chizda's idea of not taking symbols that remind God of sin to try to use them as our defense attorney when we're trying to bring our merits before God to be judged favorably. But now the Gemara is going to ask if that's really the case. The lo, we don't ever do that. V'ha ika dam par. What about on Yom Kippur? We offer a par and we bring its blood to sprinkle in the Holy of Holies. So isn't that bringing a accuser as a form of a defense on Yom Kippur in the Holy of Holies? Gemara answers, Hoel the ishtane ishtane. Since it's changed, which probably means that since it's now blood, it is no longer recognizable as a par, and therefore the blood of the par would not be a problem of turning an accuser into a defender, because it's blood, it's not recognizable as a par, and therefore does not remind God of the Egel HaZahav. V'ha'ika aron v'kapora du kruv. But wait a minute, the Gemara says, what about the gold that is in the Holy of Holies? There is the ark, there's the ark cover, and there are the cherubs that sat on top of the ark cover, right? All of those were made of gold. All of those sat in the Holy of Holies. Why would we bring gold? Because the second part of the golden calf is the gold. There's the calf part and the gold part. Why would we have gold in the Holy of Holies? Why would we do that? We just said before that that's why the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear golden clothing into the Holy of Holies. So why would we have golden objects in the Holy of Holies? Answer, Choteb bal Yakriv Kamrinan. When we said that we should not bring an accuser in the form of a defense attorney, what we meant is a sinner should not bring something forward into the Holy of Holies that reminds of sin. Meaning these other items, the ark and the ark cover and the kruvim, the cherubs, they sat there permanently. They were always there. But a chote, a sinner, in this case, the Kohen Gadol, who is representing us, should not bring an item, namely gold clothing, in when he is trying to do a service to, to bring kapara, to atone for our sins. He shouldn't bring in as an offering, or in the form of offering, a symbol of sin. So the Gemara goes on to ask, Vaha ika kaf umachta, what about the spoon and the fire pan? Right? The Gemara there is referencing the fact that there was a special incense offering made. When the Kohen Gadol went into the Holy of Holies, he brought a special incense offering, and that was done with gold utensils. So once again, we seem to be violating the principle of Rav Chisda of not bringing an accuser in the form of a defender. Answer, chote bal yitna'e kamrinan. We're talking about something that the chote, the sinner, derives benefit from. So clothing is something he derives benefit from. He shouldn't wear clothing that he's enjoying that evokes sin. But since the ktoret, the incense offering, is not something that's there for his enjoyment, it doesn't violate the problem. And then the Gemara asks one more question. V'ha'ika bigdei zahav mibachutz. What about the fact that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol still wears his gold clothing when he's not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim? Isn't that a problem of making the accuser into a defender? Gemara's answer, mibifnim ka'amrinan. This is only a problem when we are talking about things inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Not things that are outside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Only when we are really there with the divine presence in its most intense form. So now, coming back to our sugya, the Gemara asks, Shofar nami mi bachutzu. But wait a minute. You just said that the whole reason we don't use the horn of a cow or a bull is because we don't want to use an item that evokes sin, using the accuser as a defender. But now you've told me that this only applies when you're inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Well, shofar nami mi bachutzu. Shofar is something that is used outside. It's not in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's not in the Holy of Holies. Answer, kevan lezikaronhu kivifnim dami. Because the shofar is used to remind God or mention us before God, or to some would say to bring us close to God, it is the equivalent of being inside the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And that's a fascinating statement, that when we blow the shofar, we are seeing ourselves as being inside the Holy of Holies and connecting to the divine presence. Very powerful message that deserves more thought, that the shofar evokes the most intimate relationship between us and God. And we blow the shofar, it is as if we are in the very Holy of Holies itself. Now the Gemara continues with asking a question on the two reasons we just heard. Because according to Rav Chisda, the reasoning was not to make an accuser into a defender. So then they're asking in the language of the Mishnah, Aha tani pneshu karen gamar, but wait a minute. The Chachamim gave their reason in the Mishnah. It's because it's called a Karen. Didn't say anything about accusers and defenders. It said it's because the horn of a para or a shore is called a Karen. So the Gemara then goes on to say, Chada va'od ka'amar. There are two reasons, one plus another. Chada, one reason, to en kategor nasa sanagor. One reason is we don't want to turn an accuser into a defender, va'od mipnei shehu karen. And the second answer is because it is called a karen and not called a shofar. Rabbi Yossi amar lach, Rabbi Yossi would say to you in that context, deka amart en kategor nasa sanagor, hani mile mibifnim, v'hai shofar mibachutzu. The point that you can't turn a kategor, an accuser, into a sanagor, a defender, that only refers to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and the shofar, indeed, mibachutzu, happens outside the Kodesh HaKodeshim, therefore there would be no problem. utaka amar, pipneshu karen, and for the other point you made, that the horn of the cow is called a karen, kola shofar nami ikru karen. All shofarot are also called karen, therefore it wouldn't be a problem. And now Abaye comes in and wants to give a different explanation for their machloket. Abaye amar, hainu tamayu drabanan. This is the reason for the chachamim, the Tanakama, those who disagree with Rabbi Yossi. Shofar amar achmana velo shnaim ushlosha shofarot. The Torah says one shofar, not two or three. The ha de para kevan de kai gildi mitchaze kishnaim ushlosha shofarot. And because the horn of a para, because I guess the way it grows, each year of growth, it marks off like a tree. There are rings there. It looks as if you are dealing with two or three horns and not one. So here the Gemara is going to ask the same question. Wait, that's not what we find in the Mishnah. V'hatami pnei shu karen ka'amar. But Abaye, the Mishnah didn't give your reason of it looks like multiple horns. It said it's because it's called a karen. So now we're going to get the same answer again. Chada v'od ka'amar. It's this reason plus another. Chada, one reason, to shofar echad amar achmana v'lo shnayim u'shlosha shofarot. One reason is because the Torah said one horn and not two or three. The ode, additionally, mipnei shehu karen. And the other one is because it's a karen and not a shofar. Rabbi Yossi amar lach, Rabbi Yossi would say to you to respond to both of those, tik amar shofar echad amar achmana v'lo shnayim u'shlosha shofarot. In terms of what you said, you're only allowed to use one shofar and not two or three. Kevan de michabre ahadade chadu. Since they are all attached, it's really all one unit, it's only one, it's not two or three. Utik amar pneshu karen, from what you said that it's called a karen, kola shofarot nami ikru karen. All shofarot are called karen, so that would not invalidate the shofar of a par or a shor. The Gemara is going to continue. We're going to go through this rather quickly. Some examples where these great rabbis go abroad and they learn terminology of Hebrew words from their appearance in other languages. You know, some commentary suggests it's because God gave the Torah in all 70 languages, or Hebrew really holds the mysteries of all languages in it. However, we understand that it's kind of a little interesting piece of Gemara. My mashma daha yovla lishna de dichri. Where do we know that the term Yovel or Yovla, like we saw earlier, but Meshoch Bekeren HaYovel means a ram. Titania, we have a bright that says, "I'm Rabbi Akiva. Kshalachti la'Arabia, I went to Arabia. Hayukru in the Dichra Yovla. They called rams Yovla. That's how we know what the word means." The Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva goes on to say, "Kshalachti leGalia." When I went to the area of Galia, Hayukru in the Nida Galmuda. They called a menstruant woman a galmuda. My galmuda, gmulada mibala, like she is separated from her husband, and that's why we know the word galmuda refers to a nida. The Amar Rabbi Akiva, Akiva then gave another story. Shalachti l'Afriki, apparently travel out. I went to Africa, hayu korin l'ma kasita. They called the coin ma'a, which is 1/6 of the dinar, kasita. The ma'i nafkamina, why should that matter to know that a ma is called a kasita? The farushe mea kasita doraita mea danke. So I would know that when I see the word kasita in the Torah, for example, when Yaakov bought land in Book of Bereshit, he paid mea kasita, that meant mea ma'a, mea danke. Danke is a sixth of the dinar. Amar Rabbi. Now a story about Rebbe. Kshalachti lekrake hayam, hayu korin lemechira kira. They called a sale a kira. L'may nafkamina, why should that matter? What do I learn from that? L'farushe asher kariti li. It's in order to teach me that in Breshit, when it was mentioned asher kariti li, that which you, well in this case, can mean that which I acquired, or that which I purchased from you. So we know that kariti means I purchased it from you. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, kshalachti letchum kan nishraya, hayu korin lekala ninfi. When he went to a place called Kan Nishraya, they called bride ninfi. Ula tarnagol sichvi, or sechvi, and they called a rooster a sechvi. Lekala ninfi, they called a kala ninfi, why? My cry, yefe nof mesos kola aretz. In this case, that the beautiful nof is the joy of all the land. So nof here means like a bride, beautiful like a bride. Yafei nof is beautiful like a bride. Ula tarnagol, and then it goes on to say, right, that's how you know my cry, yafei nof misos kal haaretz, ula tarnagol sechvi, and they call the tarnagol sechvi. Why does that matter? Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Yibai Deim Rav Yeshua ben Levi, my kra mi shat batuchot chokma umi natan le sechvivina. It's a quote from, I believe, from Eov. You know, who placed in the smooth one's wisdom and who gave to the sechvivina. So now they explain that. Mi shat batuchot chokma elu klayot. The smooth ones were implanted with wisdom. This refers to the kidneys. The kidneys are the seat of wisdom. Omina tamasakvivina is a tarnagol. Who gave the tarnagol wisdom? Because the tarnagol knows when it's morning and knows all the hours of the day. We're going to pause here. We'll pick it up next time from the bottom of 26A Levi Ikla.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty. And thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.